Ron Van Dam. He's dashing and debonair, suave and sophisticated, intelligent and erudite, and he wrote this. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you so much, thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No, that's not me. No, never mind. Thank you very much. You know, people used to ask someone else, you know, when they greeted them, like, how's the family? Now the greeting is like, how's the air quality? Air quality's good. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for asking. And how's the family? Oh, they're good. They're good too. Thanks for being here. I have an interesting show for you today, that's for sure. I'm going to talk about money today. Money, money, money. There are some songs that I could play in the background while I talked about money, but unfortunately, I would have to pay for that because they are copyrighted material. So I'm not going to do it. But it's the thought that counts. I love that. I love that when you... You know, when you don't have enough money to give a gift to somebody on their birthday or something like that. You know, I was going to get you this nice, but, you know, maybe next time. No, it's okay. It's the thought that counts. Well, if it was a thought that counted, then no one would buy anything for anybody. I'm hungry. We don't have any food in the house. I know. I want to get food. It's the thought that counts. Yeah, but I'm starving. It's the thought that counts, I said. Anyway, money can't buy happiness. Oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. It can buy a lot of happiness. Believe me, it can. And people don't want to admit that. They just don't. No, as soon as we surrender ourselves to the dollar, then we have destroyed our reason for being. No, that's not true. It's not one or the other. You can do two things at once. I can walk and chew gum at the same time. That's not true. I do have trouble chewing when I'm walking. But anyway, you get the idea. Money's very important. And I have a guest today who is an expert in this field. And it's not about how to make millions of dollars, nothing like that. I mean, you know, it's not that kind of thing. It's more just to understand how to handle it. I mean, like, you know, some people don't even know. My mother passed away a number of years ago, and I knew really very little about her. I didn't know if she had any medical problems or anything like that or how much money she had. I didn't even know what her age was. When she passed, I had to go through her stuff, you know, to figure things out. And I came upon her personal documents. And, oh, my God, I didn't know she was this old. I didn't know because in that generation, people didn't talk about their stuff. It was all personal. People in my neighborhood when I was growing up apparently were getting divorced. There were divorces when I was growing up, probably not as many as now, I really don't know. but you would never know that the family down the street had gotten a divorce because you just didn't know. Actually, I still don't know. But it was not something that was discussed to other people. That was kept very, very quiet. Very personal information. A woman would never tell her age. Ever. And dare you ask for it, you'd be slapped upside the head. And their medical conditions, if they have a cold or the flu, of course. But underlying serious conditions that they had to live with, no. We didn't know. It's not something you talk about. It's not your business. Personal information was personal information. Now, even if you wanted to have personal information, you can't, because everything's on the internet. And I mean everything. There are dick pictures of you on the internet, and you didn't, that's not even your dick. I'm sorry to say it that way, but I'm trying to make a point. You can go on the internet and find out where everybody lives, their phone number, how many children they have, what they did, what they had for dinner last Thursday. You can do background checks on everybody. What the hell's going on? There's no more personal information. The only thing that is that HIPAA thing, which I think has something to do with hippopotamus's medical condition. Your medical condition is apparently kept top secret. Unless Trump has declassified that. But basically, it's top secret. But no, it's not. It's really not, because everywhere you go, you have to fill out forms asking about your medical condition. So there you're revealing it anyway. It's very, very weird. So times have changed. That personal stuff is open season now. Thanks to the internet. And to you and your big mouth. Money is not discussed. Unless you're gloating about it. Unless like you're Trump and you're gloating about it. Like your entire existence is letting everybody know how much money you have. Or at least how much money you want them to think you have. But generally we don't talk about that. I remember going to school. It's about all I do remember. I remember going to school, and I don't remember any classes in school, in public school at all, talking about money. Not one. Not one. I learned about history, and I've since learned half the history that I learned about is not accurate, but okay, whatever. Learned about that. Learned about math. Had a horrible math teacher. Math teacher stood in front of the class and said, are there any questions about math? And I would say, what's the square root of 72? And the teacher would say, well, you do the math. And then, what are you talking about? I hate that phrase. Well, you do the math. okay, sure, but I don't know how. That's really why I'm asking you. I didn't like math at all. Oh, math, come on. It was so bad that we couldn't even say the entire word mathematics. No one says mathematics. We call it math. We don't have time for mathematics. It's just not accurate. There's a calculator in everything now. Everything has a calculator. If you're in a restaurant and you want to figure out the tip, you pull out your cell phone and you use a little calculator thing in it, or it spells it out on the receipt. I we don't need to know that anymore. Unless you're an engineer, on the train. Unless you're an engineer, you build bridges or something like that, or you're trying to figure out some kind of equation in order to split an atom. And I can't remember the last time I got up in the morning and said, I really want to split an atom right now. Doesn't happen. So leave the math to the math people. That's fine. Math, no consequence whatsoever. English. Yeah, I had to learn how to speak English, but I kind of already knew that because my parents spoke English, and that kind of like melds into your head. I did learn how to do writing. I learned how to write script. Millennials don't even know what that is. When you sign your name, apparently, with all those loops and things, that's script. But that's the only time you sign your name. Other than that, that's the only time you use script. We used to write letters. You used to write, you didn't type them out on the keyboard? No, we used to write, we had a pen. A pen? I don't understand. What is that? We had a pen and we would write letters to people expressing our feelings or our emotions or our anger or whatever. And we would write it. We wouldn't print it. We would write it in a penmanship kind of thing. I mean, years and years, teachers tried to perfect everybody's penmanship so it could be beautiful and fanciful and readable, whatever. That was English. That was the English class. They call it English. Now, turns out, you don't have to do that kind of penmanship anymore. So that was a waste of many years. I remember sitting in the classroom, like practicing and how to make an R in script and how to make an S in script. Kids don't even understand what script is. Spent a lot of time in school learning stuff that I never used. Ever. Ever. Never taught me how to deal with money. Never taught me anything like that. Most people, when they grow up, they get an apartment or a house. Or they bank some of their money. It hasn't been the case recently because interest rates at like 0.5%, you can't make any money on your savings at all. Now, maybe a little bit. But in order to make money in a savings account now with higher interest rates, it means you can't afford food. So it's a trade-off of some sort. Most people doesn't, there's no way to figure out, like, I don't understand this. Where's my calculator? But I don't even know compound interest, annual interest rate. What is that? Didn't teach me in school. Ron, the car. We're gonna do a loan on your car. It's gonna be 5% interest. Okay, I don't know what you just said. You're gonna be paying 5% more than what it is annually. I thought I had to pay it monthly. Yeah, but the interest is annual. So every year, I don't understand what you're talking about. Same with a house. I mean, you should know this stuff. It's your money, it's your contract, you're signing, it's your deal. I don't know what I'm signing here. They told me to sign here. And I can only print, I can't even really sign my name. Oh, man, things are missing. Things are missing here. Yeah, if you want to grow your money, you have to understand money. And conversations have to be made between members of the family in order to make money. And money's important. It is important. Have you noticed if you want to live in a place and put food in your mouth and drive a car, perhaps you have to know like about money, you have to make money. What is this thing with this generation where they have jobs and then they quit their jobs because they don't want to work anymore? I don't understand where you get money from. It's a subject matter that needs to be discussed, and it needs to be discussed rather deeply. But when do you bring this up? I always thought the best time to talk about a sensitive kind of topic. Not that it should be sensitive, but it is. Best time is Thanksgiving. That's when you gather all the relatives together that you can't stand because you only see them once a year. That's an indication. You don't want them around a lot. But Thanksgiving's a family thing. And when there's alcohol involved, as there is in every holiday, that's the best time to open up. All right, Dad, I want to talk about money. Why don't you have a bottle of whiskey first? Isn't it funny how all the holidays are alcohol-driven? Have you noticed that? I think I brought this up before. Every holiday has alcohol involved, sometimes in a major and prominent manner. Let's take Thanksgiving. The only way you can handle your family for an entire day in your house or visiting in their house is to drink tons of alcohol. It's what you do. Yeah, there's alcohol involved in Thanksgiving. You don't have to go to church, so drink up. Christmas, hey, have some eggnog. Have some spiked cider. You know that warm, fuzzy feeling? It's not love. It's alcohol. Then New Year's Eve. We even toast midnight, I don't know why, with a glass of champagne, which always gives me a headache, by the way. What do we do on New Year's Eve? We get inebriated. That's what you do. Every holiday. Valentine's Day. Yeah, you better have some alcohol. Memorial Day. Remembering those that defended our country and gave their lives. Yeah, I'll drink to that. July 4th. The independence of this country. And the beer that we drink. Labor Day, when we're supposed to be honoring pregnant people. When you're pregnant, you can't even drink. Yet on Labor Day, everybody drinks. There's a barbecue and we all drink. I might have the reason for Labor Day. Maybe not accurate. Maybe it has nothing to do with pregnant women. I'm not sure now. Oh, that's right. We celebrate labor. We celebrate working by not working. Okay. We have the day off on the day that we celebrate the American worker. We appreciate your work, but don't do it today. There are many other holidays. I get shit-faced on Flag Day. I don't know why. It's a holiday. We do. Our society revolves around alcohol. So if you're going to talk about a sensitive subject, I've had many guests on the show that talk about preparing your last will and testament. It's always fun. It's always a fun topic. Yeah. I'm going to spend a little time and legally prepare for my death. And who gets what of my stuff? It's not the most pleasant conversation in the world. But you have to have it with your kids or your spouses. I don't know how many spouses you have. It has to come up. In many cases, it's a surprise. It's not a great idea, the surprise part. You need to discuss it. That's a family discussion as well. So how do you do that? Well, when you want to talk about money, my guest today is an expert. She's done radio for forever, has looked into this topic constantly and thereof in discussing it with other people in a smart way, and also educating yourself in that category, which again, public schools don't really seem to do, at least not when I went to school back in 21 BC. I don't think I'm that old. Anyway, my guest joins us momentarily. We have a short commercial break because indeed, money-wise, we need to somehow support this program. So this is how we do it. We'll be right back with our guest right after this.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Lori Sackler joins us now. We're talking about what she calls the elephant in the room, which is money. You've been doing money talk for quite some time, I understand.
Yeah, no, I started on this journey during the Great Recession. I did a radio show for WOR for 3 years.
Cool.
And then I ventured off into writing. You know, I do a lot of this for a living. I'm a financial advisor, so I brought some experience to the narrative, and I've developed this whole concept around the money talk over the last 10 years. This is my third book, and I'm really trying to help people understand how to have productive conversations with successful outcomes, because it is the elephant in the room. It's the taboo nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah, especially prior generations. I know my mother would never discuss it. I actually asked her some questions. She wouldn't respond to me. Because it was not something that the children should know. And I was a young adult at the time. I wasn't two or anything. Is that the way that you remember the prior generation? Not that you were there necessarily, but it's progressed in our conversations a little bit, hasn't it?
It has. And that's one of the reasons why I came out with the second edition, because I see a transition taking place across generations. And the millennials, and the Gen Zers seem to have a much more savvy, notion about the importance of this, and are really trying to they're talking about having the conversations. Let me put it that way. And you're right. You know, the silent generation, the greatest generation, even the baby boomers, to some extent, really have a much more difficult time. I think with the changing of the guard, the shifting of generations, you're going to see a much more openness to this. And I felt it was time to put it out again so that the next generations can really embrace it.
It's a good thing, Lori, because I, being a baby boomer, had to figure everything out on my own. I mean, I had to ask questions. No one told me anything. And sometimes I learned by mistakes. And when you're talking about money, you don't want too many mistakes involved.
It really is a process, and it's a very difficult conversation to have. And, you know, part of the reason I got involved with the second edition, I was reading articles that it's really great, you know, magazines, periodicals, great institutions, just get started, right? Mm-hmm. Just get started. And of course, that's not how you have productive conversations about anything.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to have a productive conversation about money, you better treat it like it's one of the most important conversations in your life, because there's a lot of roadblocks that you're going to need to think through before you do it. And I try to give some steps and some insights and examples so that people can begin to tackle this in a real meaningful way, because you're right, it's really hard, and the older generations are slow to get on board.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I learned about how to handle money, what to do with money from radio. I grew up in New York, and I listened to WOR, and there were money talk. I might have even listened to your show, but I don't think you're that old. But that's where I learned it. By listening to these talk shows, there was no other way to get it.
Well, and I think you're great to have me on, to put it out there in the universe. But, you know, radio, my talking about it with you is a great beginning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're going to need, you know, there's one thing about handling money. There's another piece of it about talking about it with family members who are going to be impacted by your money decisions.
Yes.
That tends to be a much more difficult topic to broach.
Yes.
Because, you know, people have real roadblocks to it. And I try to, so, you know, hearing about me on the radio is great, but I do think people need to dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they're interested, you know, get a hold of my book or what other information they can find out there, because it, you know, I liken it to having, you know, a big presentation at work that's going to be life-changing, or, you know, a job interview where you wouldn't go in without understanding the characters that you're going to talk to, the company that you're going to be potentially working for, the do's and don'ts, you know, the pitfalls, you know, it's complicated. So that's why I'm trying to get this out to the world again.
Yeah, and the topic is broad. I mean, it can be how to handle money later in life when the unfortunate happens. What to do in how to grow your money.
Yes,
so some kids don't even know how to pay bills. There's so much education to be picked up here. I'm surprised it's not a separate course in high school.
You know, it's interesting you should say that, because I have done I did a webinar with like 300 people in California for an organization that actually tries to teach parents to help their kids get life skills about money. I spoke to a national teachers association, teachers who are trying to teach in the school systems, you know, money, money terms, money, skills, life skills that they're going to need throughout the rest of their lives. I mean, I see there is a push to do this, and I applaud all those people out there that are trying to make this happen along with me. Yeah.
How does a parent enter this subject matter, and at what age would you start bringing this subject matter up with your
family? Know what? I usually say, well, first of all, it's based on how responsible your kids are, how mature they are, and if they can, if they're willing and able to accept the information and have this dialogue. But I would say around the age of 10, your kids are watching everything you're doing. I mean, even if you don't talk about it, they're, you may say one thing and do another. Trust me, they're watching what you're doing. So it's better to have some correlation and symmetry between the two, but then also engage in conversations. In elementary school, they're starting to learn skills around money. I remember my son, as in elementary school, was invited by his teacher to put together a trip around the world and pull out the costs and where would he like to go and what would it cost him and how would he obtain that money? At what stage in life would he do this? I mean, I think he must have been 9 or 10 years old, and it was a great experience for him. So I guess my point is, you want to be talking to your kids age appropriate, and of course the information is going to depend on the age and the maturity level and the responsible nature of the kid. But eventually you're going to have to tell them more. I have people coming in my office all the time who haven't talked to their kids and have tons of issues that need to be resolved, and at some point they're going to have to get them on board. So I say, before there's a death, before there's an injury, before there's a stressful event in the family, that's the time to be engaging in these conversations and starting to walk through and carefully consider all the consequences and of the decisions and who to engage in the conversation and make everybody understand what their roles are. I mean, it's an ongoing dialogue. It should be.
What do you say to those that say, hey, money is just money, we shouldn't focus on money, it's the death of humanity, I mean, all this kind of stuff? I mean, some people say that, hey, money can't buy you happiness. They start throwing out these parables, but I mean, but where do you live? What'd you eat yesterday? Where'd you get your food? I mean, come on.
Money is central to our everyday lives. You can't avoid it. And, an obsession with money is not healthy, but a lack of consideration, understanding, and dialogue around it is not helpful. So, you have to find a balance. And, those who, say, I don't care about money, I don't want to talk about it, those are probably the people that need the conversations more than the next person, because there are probably things that they're unwilling to uncover and focus and address.
That or they can go into government spending in Congress. I mean, there they don't seem to.
Okay, let's not go there.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Yeah. This is something that a lot of people are looking for guidance because they don't bring this up unless someone has to take over the financial interests, and that's usually too late. So yeah. The book's available everywhere?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think the easiest place to go is Amazon, and I do have a website, themword.com, so you can read about it and, maybe listen to some, and learn more about the topic. So, yeah, but it'd be great if, people actually made the effort to try and learn more about this topic. I think we would see families being a lot healthier. What I say in the book, the most open and transparent families are about this issue, it's an indication that it's a healthy family. And if you go through these money talks, you can create a healthier family along the way. So I do think it's important to address it. Yeah.
Yeah. What I appreciate is that the book is in terms that everybody can understand. Sometimes people get scared of that financial talk. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really tried to make it informal and, in a language that people could understand and appreciate and incorporate. Because, you know, oftentimes you read articles where, you know, the language is sophisticated and the terminology is not understandable. And then why bother, right? Because the average person is not going to get it.
Well, once you read the book, it's one less elephant you have to deal with.
Thank you.
The book is The M Word, The Money Talk Every Family Needs to Have About Wealth and Their Financial Future. She's Laurie R. Sackler. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. This was great. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Well, thank you to my guest. That was a good deal. We're going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. We'll find out what the air quality is at that point. Hopefully none of us will be indicted. Well, one of us might be, if you know what I mean. All right. Until next time, I wish you peace.